My message today is entitled Run, Forrest, Run. Today, we move into one of the more visible steps of the interim process that I'm here to help the church work through. When we gather together in the fellowship hall, we'll be taking a look at the ups and the downs, the positives and the negatives of our church history. And as you might be able to imagine, it could be very easy to take this all so seriously. We should take it seriously, but it's easy to take it so seriously that we forget to have fun as well, and we should also have some fun. So, I thought I would actually start my message today with a little bit of levity. The day finally arrived. Forrest Gump dies and goes to heaven. And he's at the pearly gates, and it's met by St. Peter himself. However, the gates are closed, and Forrest approaches the gatekeeper. St. Peter says, "Well, Forrest, it's certainly good to see you. We've heard a lot about you. I must tell you, though, the place is filling up fast. And we've been administering this admissions examination for everybody. The test is really short, but you have to pass it before you can get into heaven." So Forrest responds, "Sure is good to be here, St. Peter, sir. But nobody ever told me nothing about an entrance exam. I sure hope it ain't too hard. Life is a big enough test as it was." St. Peter continued, "Well, I know, Forrest, but the test is only three questions. Here they are. The first question, what 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? The second one is just, how many seconds are there in a year? And finally, the third one, what is God's name?" Well, Forrest leaves to think over these questions a little bit. He returns the next day, and he sees St. Peter, and he waves him up, and he says to Forrest, "Now that you had a chance to think over these questions, will you tell me your answers?" Forrest said, "Well, the first one, which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T, shucks, that's an easy one. That would be today and tomorrow." Well, the saint's eyes open wide, and he exclaimed, "Forrest, that's not what I was thinking, but you have a good point, and I guess I did not specify, so I'll give you credit for that answer. So how about the next one?" St. Peter asked, "How many seconds in a year?" "Now, that one was harder," said Forrest, "but I thunk about it, and I guess the answer can only be 12. St. Peter said, "12? Forrest, how in heaven's name did you come up with 12 seconds in a year?" Forrest replied, "Shucks, it's got to be January 2nd, February 2nd. "Hold on," interrupts St. Peter's. "I see where you're going with this, and I see your point, but it's not quite what I had in mind again, but I'm going to give you credit for that one, too. So let's go to the third and final question. Can you tell me God's first name?" "Sure," Forrest said. "It's Andy." "Andy?" exclaimed St. Peter, very frustrated. "Okay, I can understand how you came up with your answers to the first two questions, but how in the world did you come up with the name Andy as God's first name?" "Shucks, that one was the easiest of all. It's right there in the song, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me." St. Peter opened up the pearly gates and said, "Run, Forrest, run." Now, considering the title of my talk, you might have also probably figured out that particular joke is more than just a pleasant way of starting the message. And we'll get to how that is in just a moment. As we begin to think about our look at our church's past and how it impacts us, I'm reminded of the verse that I read just a few moments ago. Our history, where we come from, our experiences, they inform our present. They dictate, in part, who we are today. And more importantly, our history, our traditions, they anchor us. They support us. And they give us the strength we sometimes cannot find alone. The verse that I read actually hints at that, saying that it's because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because we have such a rich history, and since we have the support of our history, we are to shed the things that hold us back, and we are to pursue the path before us with perseverance. Now, this is where the title of my message comes from. The movie Forrest Gump. In it, Forrest is one of the most memorable and moving scenes is the one in which we first hear the line, "Run, Forrest, run." Forrest has spent his whole life walking with the support of leg braces. And he and his best friend, Jenny, are walking down a country road when boys on bicycles start throwing rocks at Forrest and calling him stupid. In the now famous scene, Jenny yells to him, "Run, Forrest, run." And he does. Now, at first, the straps and the bars that support him are more like anchors as he tries to throw his legs forward. But then the most remarkable thing happens. His braces, which had brought him safe thus far, begin to fall off, almost pushing him forward. Forrest said, "From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was a-running." Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because we have such a rich history, and since we have the support of our history, we are to shed the things that hold us back and pursue the path before us with perseverance, or said differently, run, Forrest, run. As I've said, our past, our history, it anchors us. This is doubly interesting when you consider that one of the earliest images of the church in the Christian art is that of a boat. The image of church as a boat and tradition as an anchor has been around for a very long time. The interesting thing about anchors is the way that we've come to think of them. More times than not, we think of an anchor as something that we throw overboard when we reach our destination and we want to be held in place. So the reality is boats aren't just made to float in calm and shallow waters. Boats are made for journeys. Anyone who watches the deadliest catch or the scene from Forrest Gump with Lieutenant Dan and Forrest braving out the storm on Bubba's shrimp boat, anyone who's seen them knows that being on a journey on a boat sometimes means braving rough seas. You also know that the best way to do that is by moving forward. When waters get choppy, you don't want to be anchored in one spot. So because of that, anchors actually spend most of their time on board. Not only that, anchors aren't just used to hold you in one place. A little earlier in Hebrews, the book that I read from, the writer says, "Hope is like an anchor which is offered to us, and we are told that we can move ahead into safety and confidence by casting our anchor forward." Now, for most of it, it probably seems like a pretty strange thought, casting our anchor forward. But it's actually used to be a fairly normal nautical practice. If you've seen Forrest Gump, you know that Forrest becomes, as he calls it, a gazillionaire, because he and Lieutenant Dan weather the storm at sea while all the other boats are anchored in the temporarily calm and shallow waters of the bay. The storm they were in destroyed the other boats, but the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company was the only boat left in all of the shrimp boats. Now, kedging is a nautical move sometimes used to safely move a boat out of bay when a storm threatens it. It's pretty simple. You throw your anchor out as far as you can in one direction, and then you reel your boat into it. And it's slow going, admittedly, but it's a safe and confident way to move forward, particularly in rocky seas. Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because we have such a rich history, and since we have the support of our history, we're to shed the things that hold us back and pursue the path before us with perseverance. Said differently, run, Forrest, run. Just like a boat in a storm, today's reading reminds us to not be hindered by our history, but to be inspired by it. To recognize the bold new paths that they carved out and to be strengthened by their memory as we move forward to the bold new paths that are set before us. Once we see that We honor our past by carving out new futures. Once we see that the future, while founded in the past, is not meant to be a reflection of the past, once we have cast the strength of our past into our future, we can be like Forrest and run wholeheartedly the race that's set before us. We, the church, have to figure out a way to honor the past, celebrate it, without allowing it to hold us back. Unfortunately, few churches are managing this task, and because of it, many churches are closing their doors because they simply refuse to open new doors. The great cloud of witness in every age faced their own struggles. But they persevered. They thought about those who had been on this journey before them, and then they were further strengthened to run the new race that was set before them. Today, I challenge us to do the same thing. There is a lesson to be learned from the joke that I started with. Forrest answers the questions, but he answers them in a new way. They're not incorrect as much as they're just a new way of looking at things. In turbulent waters of the modern age in which our church floats, we have to adopt a similar willingness to come at things anew. And we have to do so allowing who we are, 100+ years of it. We have to allow that history to give us strength. We must hedge our way forward into the future so that we might more successfully run the race that's been set before us. So, I'll conclude by reminding us of this one thing yet again. Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because we have such a rich history, and since we have the support of our history, we're to shed the things that hold us back and pursue the path before us with perseverance. Or said differently, run, Church of the Covenant, run.